Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you around the world, wherever you're listening to me at this hour. And I want to encourage you to pick up your Bible, and whenever I come on air, join me and take notes and follow the study as we go. It gives me great joy to know that God is on our side all the time. It also gives me great joy to know that God wants me as his child to prosper. Today I want to talk about prosperity, not from the angle we have known it all the time, but I want to use King Solomon as my pivotal point. You see, King Solomon was the richest man that ever lived, the Bible says. Even Jesus gave an example of King Solomon when he said, you see these little lilies, he says they are beauty, the way they are clothed, these lilies, the flowers. It says even King Solomon's attire could not be comparable with any one of these little ladies. The very fact that Jesus talked or mentioned the name of Solomon is an indication that Solomon was a great man indeed. Well, friends, I'd like to let you know that God's desire for you and me is to live in abundance. There is nothing good in poverty. There's nothing good in living in lack. When you live in lack, when you live in poverty, when you live from hand to mouth, that's not a blessing. You know, I got a bit of water I want to drink as I'm talking. I think because I've been taking a lot of candies too. And I never used to like candy, but I take a little bit of candy. Just excuse me as I drink some water. I'm feeling dry on my throat right now. that's much better. I took a bit of water to clear my throat because, you know, I've been taking a little bit of candy. You know, these candies, they keep me away from heavy food so that I don't blow up. You know, I'm not so very big. I used to be really big years ago. But now I'm slimming down somewhat. You know, I'm losing a lot of weight because I do work a lot of long hours and do a lot of traveling. I don't go to the gym as such. I used to go to the gym years ago, but the gym is very demanding, you know, with the weights and all that. I was a member of a gym over here in Dallas. It cost me like $200-some per month. No, per year, actually, for membership. And then every month you have to pay something like $20 or something. I can't remember what it was anyway. But they had a swimming pool. They had a warming room where, you know, your steaming room, you can go there, get into the steam and take off some stuff off your body. They had free towels, you know, a lot of towels. You go there, swim, and, you know, have a good time, and they had nice foods, proteins that would build up your body. I went there for a while, but I stopped because of some stuff that was going on. I just quit. I thought that it was expensive for me. I would have managed it, but I just quit. And so right now I don't really work out. My workout is walking. I like walking. I take a lot of walks. You know, I'm close to the college. I live close to the college here. So I walk to the college, do some bit of walking, and sometimes just take casual walks. you know, I don't drive most of the time. My wife drives. Most of the time I'll take a walk myself, you know, take a walk. I don't jog so much, but walk. I walk like from here to the downtown area here, which is not far, to do some shopping at the Walmart, buy some stuff, and then walk back if I can, but most of the time my wife will pick me up, and then we go driving around. But that's what it is. Anyway, I'm just trying to keep myself trim. Back to our subject. You know, many people think that poverty is a blessing. But I want to tell you, excuse me, poverty is not a blessing. Poverty will put you in such a bondage that you will not have means to live a successful life. When you are in poverty, things are stale. Firstly, when you are in poverty, mind you, you will not have good food to eat. Secondly, you will not have nice clothes to put on. Thirdly, maybe you not even have a home to live in. Then you'll be an outcast. You'll be on the streets maybe, or go to what they call the shelter, like here in America, where those people without homes can go and live. And you say it's not a good omen to have. Excuse me, I'm trying to clear my throat. A good omen to have. Having been to a shelter, people look at you like, what happened? What happened, you see? Because mostly the shelter is a place where drug addicts go, people who blow up their minds through drugs. They can't hold down a job, and so they can't work, and so they end up in a shelter. But we people of integrity, by integrity I mean responsible. You know, you got to hold down a job. You got to work and look after a family. You got to pay your bills. You got to pay your rent, your electric bills. Because, yeah, like here in America, even in Africa, anywhere you live, the most important thing is the home. You pay rent for your home. You pay your electricity bill. You pay your car note if you have a car. You pay for your telephone. It's the same thing everywhere. Like with us, we have a number of telephones, home phones, cell phones. You got to pay a bill for that, and you pay for the cable. You know, cable, you can't just watch TV here in America unless you have cable. And cable costs, like with us, you know, I mean, you know, anybody who wants good viewing, you pay at an estimated amount of over $100-some per month. And then you got to have enough money for your gas. You got to have enough money for your food, which costs quite a bit. A good budget of food would be close to about $200 and some. Sometimes when we go shopping and blow $100-some in one spree of shopping, you wonder what's going on. But that's what it is. So your groceries for the home might cost you about $200-some or plus. Then you must have clothes. You know, I'm a clothing man. You know, I used to, in Africa, I used to wear suits all the time. But coming here in America, people are very casual. So, you know, I wear some jeans denim, a casual shirt. But I'm getting back to wearing jackets and suits and ties. I have a number of them, and I'm not complaining about that. But the point I'm trying to make is that when you are poor, firstly, you lose respect from people. People don't respect the poor person per se. When you are in penury, very few people are going to hear from you. Very few people will put you in high regard. They think you're destitute. Your poverty has driven you crazy, and you can't understand. You can't even differentiate left from right. But there's some very poor people who are very wise. But you know, you can have all the wisdom in the world, but when you are poor, I'm telling you, people tend to distance themselves from you. It's like here in America, you know, if you walk and you don't have a car, people look upon you like something is wrong with you. You lost your mind or something. You're so desperate, you're a destitute. Here in America, if you don't drive, you're destitute. And I remember when my car broke down, and my wife and I, we had to catch public transport here and there. Sometimes people who knew us, we wondered if they really saw us or what. but they zoom by, boom. Sometimes they wave their hand, hello, and they're gone. Come on now, stop your car. Give a ride to a friend. Don't be too proud with your little four wheels. You know what I'm saying? You know, I have owned a number of cars while I've been here in the United States. First, I owned a Mazda? Mazda 505, 503. I can't remember when I was in Massachusetts. A student sold me that car. Then I bought, when I came to Dallas, I went to Sigelview and I bought a car, a Honda Accord. This got wrecked up. Somebody borrowed it and they dumped it in Garland. I was new to the city and I didn't even know where Garland was. Next, I bought a Mazda, brand new car, Mazda. Again, some drag head borrowed my car and they went and messed it up. I had to spend over $600 to clean it up. I bought new tires. People tore my tires up. I spent almost about $400 and some to get brand new tires on my car. This is a brand new car being messed up. Some people can mistreat you. People can work to bring you down. But, you know, today I want to talk about King Solomon. Because King Solomon is an exemplification of prosperity in the Word of God. I want you to see that God is happy when you are prospering. The Bible said God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. When you live in abundance, when you have a comfortable home, when you sleep well, when you have a big house, when you drive a nice car, God is happy. And you know, when you have all these nice things of life, blessings, that's how heaven is. In heaven, you're going to go to heaven and find some torn curtains hanging in the windows where Jesus lives? No way, Jose. You're not going to go to heaven and find a bunch of trash heaped up at a dumpster in heaven. There are no dumpsters in heaven. In heaven, streets are made of pure gold, transparent as glass. God lives in outstanding prosperity and abundance, and he is our Father. Now you tell me, if you, the earthly parent, can look after your child and give them the best that you have, what makes you think God is going to throw you in the cave and give you some rags and say, hey, there, have a nice time? That's a lie from the pit of hell. You say, Bishop Mwamba, well, it's humility to be poor. No, it's not humility to be poor. You'll be poor for long. You'll die early. You know? You see, here in America, people live long lives. 88 years, 98 years, 102 years. Why? Because, you know, life is made easy by living well. You know, living in a clean environment, eating nice food and exercising as it's important. And so many people live long. But when you get into a poverty situation, it's a grind. The food you're eating itself, the budget beats you under the belt. You don't have finances to go around. That takes away from your life also. Well, I would like us to look at the book of Kings, 1 Kings, and chapter number 10, looking from verse number 18. Now here, it's talking about King Solomon with his wealth. Listen to the word of the Lord. It says in verse 18, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. This is King Solomon. And overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stairs either side on the place of the seat. And two lions stood beside the stairs. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the six steps, there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all of the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apis and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, erect year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots, and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem, as stones and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And the chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites, and for the kings of the Syrian, did they bring them up by their means. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, Dex, the Bible I'm reading, he has a commentary here. He says, the ivory throne, drinking vessels of gold and other riches year by year, besides what David left to build the temple, which cost over $174 billion. $1 billion. Now, the Bible says here, and Solomon, verse 28 of 1 Kings 10, had horses and brought out of Egypt and did linen yarns. But then when you go to verse 27, it says, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. Now, you see, here is Solomon. He made silver to be as stones. You know how we run for the quarters? You know, I've been working in retail for a long time, and I handle money, big money, take money to the bank and all that stuff. But silver, coins, they're so important. It's quarters, you know, those who do public washing. Before we had a wash and dryer in our home, we used to do sometimes public washing, where you must have a bunch of change to get those washing machines to work. But friends, to be prospered in such a way that silver is regarded as like it's just mere stones. Stones. You know what a stone is? Wherever you go, you never miss a sight of a stone. Stones are everywhere. That's how King Solomon made these riches, both for himself and the nations, in such abundance that silver was so plenty that it was just regarded as the same level as stones, because it was everywhere. And if you brought a present to King Solomon, make sure it wasn't made of silver, because he had too much of it. See what I'm saying?
All the vessels that he ate out of were made of pure gold.
People say, well, when you are rich, you become pompous. When you have money, you start to boast. No, see, money is a key to your future. Money is a key to your success. Without money, you can do very little in life. But when you have money, you can do exploits because money has feet. Money has wings. Money will build you a house, will get you out of poverty. See, there is lottery that goes on here in the United States of America. They got the Powerball, the Pick 3, whatever, you know. People buy these tickets. Right now, I think it's last week or this week, the Powerball was $333 million. Now, there was a family in New Jersey, an African-American family. They won something like $442 million. From poverty to winning such a huge amount of money. Sometimes people, because they don't know how to handle their money, it drives them nuts. But this lady with, I think, 8 children, vowed to tithe to the house of God first. The point I'm trying to make, my friend, nobody prides in being poor. It's wisdom to be poor and to lack the necessities of life. You understand? That is an oppression of the devil. If you lack the necessities of life, you lack food, you lack good drinks, you lack a comfortable bed, you lack a comfortable seat, you think that's prosperity? You think God is happy when you're going without? No, my friend. God's desire is that you live in abundance. Now you say, hey, Bishop Mwamba, how can I come out of poverty? Number one, God has placed keys for us to come out of poverty, and that's tithing. The book of Malachi 3:10 says, bring all your tithes and offerings unto mine house, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, if thou not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will be no enough room for you to receive it. If you want to live in abundance, begin giving to God. Start giving to the work of God. Plant here in our ministry. We are preaching the gospel. We are running a Bible school. We need partners for the ministry. Say, well, Bishop Mwamba, I want to be a partner. I'll be giving $1,000 to your account. Look, if you go on Facebook, you're going to see my name there. It says fun. It says PayPal me. Money we are collecting for the Bible school, you can send it to PayPal me and I'll get it. Or you can go to Word of Life Bible College, 777@gmail.com. Send us a note that you'd like to partner with us and you'd like to give $1,000 to the work of God. We need money to buy homes for the students, for the Bible school. See, God will start to bless you. Your life is going to change. Why? Because God is looking for faithful servants to entrust with the wealth, because he knows that these people are going to plant it back into the work of God, into the kingdom of God. But when you have your salary and you blow it all up on yourself, you buy nice things and you go drinking in the club and you forget about the house of God, listen, you are making holes in your own pocket. Money is not going to stay with you. It's going to fly away. But when you start to give to the work of God, God will make sure you get blessed. I remember helping a young lady years ago. And being there when they were in trouble, being there when they were in need. This individual, when she was passing, I never knew she had entrusted me so much and was very influenced by my life of integrity. She signed to my name benefits, that were up to $48,000. $48,000. Apparently, the individual passed, and when I received that money, just for the funeral of the individual, I cut a check for her parents of $12,000. I remained with the rest. I had to pay bills. I had to do this and that. But I remember that time I was in so coordinated, excitement and stuff. I blew money which was not supposed to be blown. But most of it I used it very wisely. My point is, when you are anticipating for prosperity and abundance, it will come to you. When you are not anticipating it or expecting it, it won't come. The things you so desire are the things that will come to pass in your life. It was like, is this Jonah? Not Jonah. Job, who said, the thing I feared most has finally come upon me. To him, he used the opposite of faith. Instead of attracting the positive things, he feared lack, he feared death, he feared calamity. But the very things he feared are the things that he attracted in his life. He says, the things that I feared have come to torment me in my life. Listen, don't fear to prosper. Anticipate to prosper. Always think of abundance in your head. As you think about abundance, guess what? Things will start creating themselves in the spirit realms, because you see, our thoughts are so creative. The words we speak go out in the heavenlies and start to make things up for us. The life you're living today are the things you spoke last year. You talked about poverty, you talked about how the economy has gone bad, you talked about how things don't work for you, that's why things don't work for you today. But when you change your language and start saying, I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out, I am a millionaire, I hold millions in my hands, I'm a lender, not a borrower, I'm a head only and not tail. See? I'm above only and not beneath. When you start talking that kind of a talk, your talk will put you over, because there's power in the spoken word. The words you speak have life and death in them. So instead of speaking death, speak life. Say, God is prospering me. Say, God of abundance is on my side. Say, God is doing great things in my life. I'm a child of God, and I shall see the prosperity of his servant. Let poverty be your friend. If God is not a companion to poverty, how can you make poverty your companion? If Jesus is not a companion to lack, how can you allow lack to be your friend? These are things you need to reject in your life and say, poverty, get away from me. Lack, get away from me. Abundance, come into my life. Prosperity, come into my life. Millions of dollars, come into my life. Money, wherever you are, come to Lawrence Mwamba. Now, in Jesus' name, I command it. Speak like that. Talk like that. Put your name where I put my name. Say, Lawrence Mwamba is being prospered by the Lord. Money cometh from the north and the south and the east and the west. People give to Lawrence Mwamba all the time for the sake of the kingdom. And we are building God's kingdom. Guess what? Abundance is going to come. Let us be focused with prosperity. Let us be focused with abundance, because we have a job to do on earth. We are not going to do it with empty hands. We are going to do it with the abundance of the Lord. I charge you, beloved ones, wherever you are, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, this is Bishop Doctor. Lawrence Mwamba, signing off from Dallas, Texas, saying God bless you. I'll talk to you again. Amen.